From Nevada Public Radio, I'm Joe Shaneman at State of Nevada. The rising number of unhoused and the lack of affordable housing are problems a lot of cities and states struggle with. It's not, though, an issue that comes up a lot when politicians hit the campaign trail, maybe because it seems so difficult and it's pretty controversial. Like, do elected city officials really want to arrest people for camping on public sidewalks, which the Supreme Court now says they can? But attempts to deal with it despite reservations are always being made. The question is, what works and what doesn't? And do Democrats do it better or do Republicans do it better? A year ago, Nevada lawmakers led by Democrats approved state funding of $100 million to do something about the homelessness crisis. That was largely at the behest of the resort industry, which has to match that $100 million in order to get the funding. Now, as we wait to see how that money is going to be spent, the fall election nears. When it comes to housing and unhousing and the unhoused, doesn't matter who's in charge. If the Dems win supermajorities in the Assembly and the Senate here in Nevada, that gives them the power to overturn any veto by the governor. If they have that power, will they do more about affordable housing and the homeless? Following all of this are Nevada Current reporter Michael Lyle and UNLV professor of social work, Nick Barr. Michael, Nick, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks. Great to be here.
And Michael Lyle, I'm going to start with you because you recently wrote about the Las Vegas City Council approving a bill draft request to help them pay for homeless care. What does that BDR specifically say?
So the BDR is still being drafted, but what the idea around this is we have a rising population of those who are unhoused that have medical needs, and they opened a respite center in the city of Las Vegas, Quarter of Hope, which is where all the homeless resources are located.
That's sort of a one-stop shop north of Fremont Street?
Correct. So they have the courtyard, but there's also other facilities around there, including Catholic Charities. And that's where the respite care center is actually located. And so it's been helping medically fragile homeless to actually who are leaving the hospital or at risk of infection have a place to actually stay. And so they want to expand that. And the idea of this BDR is actually to have Medicaid be able to pay for some of these people to stay there. And so this is just one aspect of the homeless population that's growing, just people that have medical needs and nowhere to go. And it's kind of making problems even worse. So if you have open wounds and you have no place to go, and you go into the streets, it's getting infected. They're getting, and so it's leading to more complications. And so the idea of this BDR is to actually give them more power and more dollars to expand and actually help more people.
So they want more money from the state, essentially, to help with this issue?
So yeah, it would actually kind of help open the door for Medicaid dollars to provide to pay for some of these beds.
How significant do you think this bill is? That, you know, does this really, I guess, reach a problem that everybody's seeing? Does it really do something?
Yes, it does. I went over, so over the summer, I reported on the rise of homeless deaths, which you can imagine, as we've seen more unhoused people in overall growth, we've seen more people dying on the streets. And one subpopulation of people who are dying or people are dying from healthcare needs. People are dying from everyday things that can be treated, whether it's sepsis, whether it's pneumonia. And so this is a significant thing because there are medical issues that we could easily be treating, but people are exiting the emergency room or just getting sick on the street or having issues on the street and not being dealt with and just dying and succumbing. So this is a significant thing to help maybe reduce the number of people that are dying specifically for health-related issues.
What's interesting about that is it sort of points to this dichotomy public officials seem to be having all over the state. For instance, in Washoe County, county commissioners there said they didn't want to do it. They really, none of them wanted to do it, but they outlawed sleeping in cars. Mm-hmm. Here in Las Vegas, they are asking for money to help the indigent with medical issues, just like you said. But at the same time, Las Vegas and Henderson wrote amicus briefs, friends of the court briefs, in that Supreme Court case that the Supreme Court ultimately ruled where you could arrest people who are sleeping on public sidewalks or camping out in public areas. So it's interesting. I mean, when you talk to officials, how do they view the homeless issue in general?
Well, I do want to point out that Las Vegas passed its first ordinance before anyone else did back in 2019, even as
to do
to punish people for sleeping on crimes. They say they don't use this punitively. They say they don't use it to actually arrest people, but to help move people along. But you can imagine there are some people who do get incarcerated because they are sleeping on public sidewalks. So they were the first to do that in 2019, even as the Ninth Circuit, which is the court that had their ruling overturned, even as the Ninth Circuit at that time saying this was cruel and unusual punishment. So they did do that. And Henderson, even as they filed their amicus brief, they already did pass a camping ban prior to the amicus brief too. And so even before the Supreme Court ruling made it absolutely clear that cities could punish people for sleeping on city sidewalks, they were finding ways to actually still have encampment removals and to pass laws that punish people for life-sustaining activities like sleeping wherever they can.
And in one of your stories, you interviewed Tick Sigerbloom from the county, who had mentioned that, gosh, can we do something like this? Do we have the ability to do that?
Yeah. So the crazy thing about this is about the city of Las Vegas and the city of Henderson filing amicus briefs is I've asked them, like, what were you actually specifically hindered from doing that you think overturning this decision? Because the reality is that the city of Las Vegas, city of Henderson, Clark County already do encampment removals, and they do it at high rates. I've gone into the encampments with social service providers ahead of encampment removals. They are moving people despite supposed protections. And so now after the Supreme Court, the question becomes how much that becomes ramped up. They say they want to balance this dichotomy of, well, we can't have these encampments. It's a public safety issue. It's a health crisis, even for those who are unhoused. But when you do not have the adequate housing, if you do not have the adequate shelter space, if you do not have options and low barrier places to put people, what you're doing is just shuffling people across the city. Like, you're not actually solving the problem.
I want to get into one more thing with you. Talk a little bit about the point-in-time homeless count from last week. What did it show in terms of the number of homeless this year versus last year?
Well, it's a 20% increase from the last year's point-in-time count. I will say with a point-in-time count, which is an annual census that we go on one point, that's obviously an undercount because there's so much that goes into that it's just hard to count every single person. But from what data we see, it's a 20% increase, a 13-year high in the numbers of people counted. But I think what I want people to take away is the 20%, or about 20% of that count was families with children. So we have this mentality and we have this vision of who we think of unhoused, the people that are sleeping on tents on the street, which is part of the problem. But we have a significant large population of families that are evicted, are unable to afford their rent because either the minimum wage is not sufficient, $12 is not enough to make ends meet and pay for a market rent apartment here, or there's so many little tenant protections that families are entering homelessness at higher rates. Yeah. So the year before, only 12% of the population of that count was families with children. So now it's 19%. So it's going to keep growing if we don't do anything about it.
It's a big issue. And Las Vegas and Clark County are struggling to find solutions to the unhoused homeless crisis. With me now is UNLV social work professor Nick Barr. His research focuses on risk and protective factors for higher chances for traumatic experiences like homeless young people and military service members. Nick, I wonder if you can clarify, there's some research going on that has been talking actually for years about how putting more money into homelessness can actually cost a state or a municipality less money in the long run.
Yeah, so thanks, Joe. So there's actually some pretty good research on interventions like permanent supportive housing that shows that if you take people who cost municipalities a lot of money. So this is folks who might be experiencing homelessness who, as Michael pointed out, could have complex medical needs, maybe some mental health needs, and are basically shuffling through our emergency system, you know, getting picked up by police, maybe taken to the emergency room, maybe even taken to jail. All those things are very costly. The outlay for those services is very costly, and it falls directly onto the taxpayer, and it clearly doesn't solve the problem, right? People keep on having to use those services. So instead of using emergency services that are very costly over and over again, like a hamster wheel, what we've seen is that it's much cheaper to actually just house people permanently. And then, you know, if their needs are great, you can provide them with services at the place where they're housed, like case management, social work, other types of services. And while that requires an initial investment, an initial outlay, it's very clear that over time it's much less costly.
Okay, well, let me stop you there and get to this. You've been in Nevada for a while now, and you have studied the homeless situation very closely. Do you think it matters when voters go to the polls this fall? Does it matter which party they vote for? Do Democrats do more about the issue? Do Republicans do more? I mean, how have you seen it turn out in this state?
Well, I think it's a complicated question, but I would say a couple things. So one, again, as Michael pointed out, if we look at the homeless count data, we've not seen much improvement. I mean, rates have been stable or going up over the last, all the post-pandemic counts. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know that either party has done a fabulous job locally, but I will say that I've not really heard anything on the right about the issue other than it being a mental health and law enforcement issue. And, we've tried to treat it as a mental health and law enforcement issue. This is displacing social structural problems like a lack of affordable housing onto individuals, and that's just been patently unsuccessful. So I think, neither party is covering themselves in glory, but I just haven't heard any plausible intervention scenario from the right. On the left, we've heard nationally about maybe some money for first-time home buyers, maybe some money for new housing starts, building new housing. And so, I don't know that either of those are necessarily sufficient to solve the problem. More needs to be done. But, I will say some cities on the right, run by Democrats and Republicans, mm-hmm. have made improvements. So I think it's really much more about how local stakeholders and politicians define the problem and cooperate with each other than it is kind of a right-left problem, in my view.
Recently Governor Joe Lombardo sent letters to the White House criticizing the federal government's approach to the housing crisis. He wants more government land in Nevada to be available for development. And then a group called the Housing Justice Alliance ridiculed Lombardo. They called him a whiner whose letters do nothing to help. And the Alliance is a group that says housing should be recognized as a right, not a luxury. The question is, I wonder first if letters like that to a federal agency antagonizes them. Does it do any help? Have you ever seen anything like that help? And is that group correct in saying this should be a right? And should it be like the bus service, something that we just expect to take a loss on because it's a public service?
Yeah. So I haven't seen a letter like that be successful, to my knowledge. In fact, the land he asked for has not been released. But I also think, building out with a lot of sprawl is also probably not going to be a solution. I mean, let's say you get some, BLM land where you're now able to build housing. How are those people going to get into the city to work? Who's going to live out there? What jobs are they going to have? How are we going to manage transportation, water, other infrastructure? So I think, pushing people out into the exurbs is historically not a good way to build thriving cities with ample affordable housing. So I can't say I support that. On the other hand, kind of public spats, fought in the media, I've not really seen that be a great solution either. But I do think that we need to reconceptualize what housing means in this society as something closer to a right. And that's because right now, housing is an asset class that does, big business for private investors. It's very successful at making private investors lots of money, but it's not been successful in housing people, which is fundamentally what we need to do here to have a thriving, productive, economically successful society. So yes, I think we do need to reconceptualize that. There are plenty of public goods that we invest in because they make our country better. Nobody expects the Marine Corps to turn a profit, It provides a service to the country. And so I think the same is true with housing, that number one, regardless of whether it turns a profit, I think we need to invest in housing because it allows people to build cohesive societies and be economically productive and healthy. That's good for the country overall, even if it means, BlackRock and some other investors won't get to flip houses and make a profit. And if it takes a loss, okay, so be it. We don't need the post office to make money. We need it to deliver the mail on time. And we don't need housing to make money for investors or even for taxpayers. We need it to provide the bedrock for a stable society.
That's Nick Barr. He is a UNLV professor of social work. Michael Lyle is a reporter for the Nevada Current. Nick, Michael, thank you so much.
Thank you.